Amen. Amen. Children's church workers and the kids, you may stand. Father, Lord, I pray that you would be with them today, Lord God, and your anointing and your spirit would rest upon their lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed to go to the other building. Amen. 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 Hey, kids, don't eat all the candied apples either. I want one. No, I don't. Maybe next week. Got them in house, yes. One gets to stick, one doesn't. Steve, can you walk with them to make sure? Or any guy? Well, that's good. Oh. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. When somebody tells me God bless you, I say, thank you. I receive it. Amen. The blessings of God. You know, even though they're on our lives, I like to hear it. You know, just yes, thank you, Lord. I do want to thank you for last week. Last week we celebrated the fourth anniversary of our church. And I tell you, it was a huge success. We just, you know, Jelaine and I stand in amazement. We stand in amazement of what God can do. And we're standing in amazement of what God's going to do next year also. But we want to thank you. You know, just a matter of note to you. I know, you know, personally, you know, numbers, that doesn't mean much to me at all, really. But you know what? It's good to have a lot of people. You know, I mean, you know, because you're trying to win the loss, you're trying to bring people in. But, you know, I just want, this is home, folks, I want to tell you this. Last week we had close to 50 people. You might say, well, why is that? Well, you know, that, praise God. You might say, well, you had a lot of guests. Well, all we had was 6 guests. So that leaves 40-something people. That's a testimony of what God can do. That should encourage you that your prayers, your working, and what you're doing for the kingdom of God, that God is moving on our behalf. God is moving on our behalf. But I want to thank you. Thank you for all the food that you brought. I want to thank Leonard and I know Steve. They both cooked the gumbo. You know, it was very good. Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing all the dessert stuff, you know. I mean, that was something we really, really needed, you know. It was good to have, but I want to thank you for all that you did in making it a success. And just you being you, thank you. We love you guys, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. And you know, my heart is, how is God going to use you next year? You know, because you see, the Spirit of God is moving upon the earth, and I know He's moving in your homes, and I know He's moving in your families, and I know He's moving all over the place. So I'm looking forward, Lord, next year, what's going to happen? I know a few things that God has spoken to me about, and I know what's some things, but I'm looking forward to seeing what God is going to do in your personal life. Yes, with us collectively, but what God is going to do personally in your life. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. On December 1st, we picked up $663.80, and last Sunday, we picked up $991. You know, people, be faithful with your tithe and offerings. Just be faithful with your tithe to the church. And I tell you, it says in Scripture that God will open up the windows of heaven. Now, He didn't say when you give it out all over the place that He would open up the windows of heaven. Don't shout me down now. Now, it's good to give other places, but you always have to give first where God says to give first. And that is, that's the house of the Lord where you get fed. You need to give your tithe and offerings, and God says He will open up the windows of heaven. My God, when the heavens are open, that means He will pour out a blessing upon you, and then help other people. Do whatever God puts upon your heart in ministering and helping and all that stuff that He puts on your heart. But take care of the things of God first, and God will take care of you. But I appreciate your giving, and we thank you for that. We thank you. I'm trying to think of any other announcements. I think that's it. Amen. The statement I made when we first started church was, if we don't quit, God won't quit. If we don't quit, God won't quit. You might say, well, Pastor, what kind of statement is that? Well, that's a true statement. That's a true statement. But I want to read something to you. It's a song called Praise the Lord. And this is the first part of it. It says, when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Then the chorus says, praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Now, Satan is a liar, and we know it. And he wants to make us think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ has risen, so the work has already been done. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. If we don't quit, God won't quit. If we don't quit, God won't quit. Now you might say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I know this. I know the things out there in the world, old Slewfoot himself, and all his demonic stuff and all the things that are going on, that he attacks the children of God. And he tries to bring destruction upon the children of God. As the song says, it seems to bind us. We are not bound by the things of the world or the things of the devil. But God makes a way when we praise Him, when we honor Him, when we give Him the glory and the honor that He so deserves. You know what that song is really saying? It's saying, church, keep your eyes upon me. Church, keep your eyes upon me. Because in God, we conquer Him. Without God, we're destroyed. Church, keep your eyes upon me. The physical eyes, but the spiritual eyes upon God. And as old Slewfoot comes around, trying to bring destruction. Because you see, he doesn't attack unless he's threatened. He doesn't attack or try to destroy unless he feels threatened. And you see, we have touched heaven by our praise and worship and honor towards our God. And what he tries to do is divert our eyes from being upon him, upon God, and trying to divert it so that we look to other things besides the source of our lives. That we look to other things. It may seem to bind us, but it's only to remind us that they drop powerless behind us when we praise him. Isaiah, I know this scripture is kind of out of line, but I know it's in Isaiah. Let me get 59:19. It says, So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him. Isaiah 59:19. That when he rises up and tries to bring destruction, when he rises up, it seems like things are going awry. It seems like, remember, Satan, his tactics, the things he tries to do, it's all fake. It's not real. Now, when he's attacking God's people, it is real to us. But the circumstances, the things that are out there are fake. We feel it, but it's fake. God is real. And when God steps in and he lifts up the standard and he says, no further can you go. No further can you bring havoc. No further. He stops it. Look, that's the kind of God you serve. That's the kind of God I serve. That can stop the rolling thunder of a wave of evil. And the standard is the cross of Calvary. And it stops it in its tracks against you. And God steps in and brings victory. God steps in and brings victory. If you don't quit, God won't quit. You might say, Pastor, why are you preaching on this? Excuse me. Because I know. I know what I feel on the inside and what the devil's trying to do. God just says, keep on going. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. Some of you have wrestled with things, and you've wrestled with things, and you've wrestled with things. And you said, Lord, when is victory coming? And you've wrestled with things, and you've wrestled with things, and you keep saying, Lord, when victory's coming? Lord, when victory's coming, it's coming. Because you see, any time we put our faith in him and what he did at Calvary's cross, victory has to come. Because that's the only true victory spiritually. That's it. Jacob and Esau. You know these two guys, Jacob and Esau, the twins? They were born to Isaac, and Isaac married Rebekah, and they had these twins. It says that when Jacob and Esau were coming out of the womb, Esau was first. And it says that Jacob caught the heel of Esau. And they both came out minutes actually apart. I mean, very right after one another. Esau was born first, and Jacob came right after him, born, like I said, minutes apart. But they were totally dissimilar in appearance and character. One had a heart for God, and one didn't. And we know in the Old Testament we can read that usually the firstborn got the blessings of everything. And we can read the stories where, you know, Jacob and Esau, Oh, Rebecca loved Jacob a lot. Isaac loved Esau a lot more than the other. But the firstborn got the blessings. And when the patriarch was almost or felt like he was about to pass away, what would happen was the eldest son would come in. And the patriarch would lay his hands upon him and present the blessing or pray the blessing. Now, the blessing that was usually prayed for, yes, there was some physical stuff, you know, materialistic stuff. But most of the time when the blessing was prayed, it was more of a spiritual blessing, a spiritual blessing upon the eldest son to carry on the spiritual attitude or the spiritual atmosphere of that family. And so, because Esau, we know, didn't really want to serve God, and he was a hunter, and he would go and hunt and do all kinds of stuff, and more, Jacob would stay basically in the home. He didn't do much of that stuff. They were totally different in appearance and even in what they did. But it was time to give the blessing. And Rebecca hears about it. Conniving never helps. We can read the story and we can say, well, you know, Rebecca helped. Conniving never helps. Wrong is never good. No matter if it's 1% or 100%, wrong is never good. Never good. The devil will try to make us believe, well, it's just a little bit, and we can go and repent. It's never good. It always brings some kind of destruction. It always brings evil. And Rebecca hears that her husband's going to pray the blessing, and Esau is going to come in and receive it. And she didn't want that to happen. So as Esau goes out to kill the venison and bring it and prepare it before his father, before the blessing would come, it says that Rebecca runs to Jacob and says, we have to do something. You have to get the blessing. Now, don't you think God knew what Isaac was going to do in praying the blessing? And don't you think God could change his heart in who he would pray for? But man sometimes thinks they can handle things and take control of things. And it says that Rebecca got a hold of Jacob, her son. She made him hairy like Esau. She did all kinds of stuff. Hurry up, prepared some food and sent it in. And he was like, he was saying, I'm Esau. And it was really Jacob. And it says that the father smelt him and said, you smell like him, because Jacob put on Esau's clothes. Put on sheepskin to make him feel hairy. And did other things. It doesn't say much for Isaac, huh? He was getting physically blind. Couldn't see who his son really was. The devastating part, he was getting spiritually blind. And it says he puts out his hands and prays over him, the blessing. Deception never helps. Never. We got to watch the things we do, people. Because it never helps in the kingdom of God. Never. 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 We think, well, if I can get away with a little bit, you know. We may not say it, we just do it. But it doesn't work. It doesn't help us. Because the Spirit of God comes back in and says, Joe, what about this? Ooh. And you got to settle things with God. And sometimes with other people too. Just depends on what it is. And so, prays over him. He leaves. Esau comes in. Man, he killed the venison, killed the deer, did all that. Prepared it, brought it to him. And when he walks in, he gives it to his father. And his father's shocked. He said, didn't I just pray for you? No. And so Esau says, you have to pray something. So he prays some little thing over him. But anger rises up in Esau against his brother, his twin brother. And it says that when Rebekah hears about what's going on and the anger and the bitterness that Esau has towards his brother, Jacob, that she turns to him and says, you need to go. Now, can you imagine Rebekah looks at her son for the last time because she never sees him again. Does deception help? Does evil help? No. Doesn't work, people. God has lifted up a standard that is different from the world. And we got to lift up that standard of righteousness, peace, and love towards him and towards people. And Jacob leaves and he gets married and he does all this. But before all that happens, the blessings of God is upon him. And honestly, as you read scripture, God wanted to use Jacob. God chose Jacob. God chose Jacob. The second born, not the first. You might say, well, why did God do that? God sees the heart of men. And can you imagine that God could have changed the circumstances around? God could have spoken to Isaac somehow, some way, and made him understand that what he was about to do was not right? Could an angel visit him? My God! Could the Lord Jesus Christ visit him and speak with him? God can change situations around. Sometimes we think it's so hard for God to move upon situations. But God said, if we don't quit, he won't quit. If we give it to God, he'll take it. And he will do what needs to be done in whatever situation. God can bring our children to the Lord. My God, nothing's too hard for God. I was blessed this week. Somebody texted me and said, you know, my children went to church this week. Man, look, Jelaine and I were so excited. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you see, that's the power of God moving upon a people. That's a praying father and mother, a praying people that can change the hearts of a man and a woman. That can change the hearts of people. God can do all things. If we don't quit, God won't quit. If we don't quit, God won't quit. You might say, well, you know, I'm up against the wall. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Well, let me tell you, we've all been there. And honestly, sometimes I still feel I'm there at certain times. What to do? But you see, God gets us to those places so that we say, what to do? And we look up and he's saying, that's what you do. We call upon the name of the Lord. We praise him and we honor him and we thank him for who he is. Saying, Lord, move upon this situation. And buddy, when we see God move, what does it do to us? It builds our faith in our God that he can do all things. All things. Not just one thing here, not just one thing there, but your God can do all things. I've said it to you many, many times. Oh, Slewfoot wants to damage your faith and destroy your faith in your God. But God is saying, I'm going to let it rise up within them. It's like fire shut up in their bones, ready to come out to see what God can do. What God can do. It says, in Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 and 11, what God can do. As Jacob left, can you imagine all alone? One day, one night, he has his brother. He has his mother. He has his father. He has everybody else that's around him. And the next night, he's sleeping somewhere else in a distant land with no one. If we don't quit, God won't quit. God was getting this man to a place where he would turn to him for everything. And it says in verse 10, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he stopped at a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was setting. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillars and lay down in that place to sleep. He fell asleep. Can you imagine the horror of a stressful running? You know, we often think of our jobs, maybe, you know, we like to, every morning we quit, or every afternoon we quit. I hate this thing. We quit, and then we go back, we rehire ourselves, you know, okay. We hired one day, we fire ourselves, and we hire ourselves every day. That's okay. Just so you stay towards the Lord. Towards him. But can you imagine? He leaves everything he owns, people. Everything. Everything. And he gets to this place and running. Or on the horse or whatever he had. Donkey, I don't know, whatever. But getting to a place. The sun's coming down. And he starts to think. Can you imagine never seeing your mother, your father again? And he lived, and there was a span, they think, of about 20 years. Because of something that you did. He got to that place of that rock, made himself a bed, and he ceases from his work that day. Honestly, I don't know how he slept, but I know it was the Lord because he had a dream. And the Lord would not give up, even with his deception, brought upon himself by his mother. But you know what, you say by his mother, but they connived all this. They you know, there was underlying things going on. But he gets to this place and he lays down and builds the rock and puts his head upon it, you know, the rock, and lays there. Then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes in. If we don't quit, God won't quit, people. If we don't quit, God will not quit on us. We may not like some of the things that God does. We may not like some of the things that He doesn't do, huh? I mean, you know, really, let's face it. Hey, look. I've said, I don't understand some things, Lord. I don't understand this. What's that? He works too slow. The God that made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, He works too slow. That's a shame. I understand. You know, we think, man, we have it planned. We know what He should do, you know. But it says that when He fell asleep, He had a dream. And let's read this dream. It says in verse 12, "And he dreamed, behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heavens, and behold, the angel of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to you will I give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Can you imagine? He dreams of a ladder from earth to heaven, and he sees angels going back and forth. You might say, what are they doing? They're bringing answers to prayers. They're bringing protection for God's people. They ministering to God's people. They helping spiritually whatever way God commands them to do. Lord, that's the same thing today. There is a ladder. Now you might say, is there a physical ladder? No. But God had to let them see it this way. Angels are coming forth, people, back and forth. If God would open our eyes to see the angels that are in this room, that are round about, shoulder to shoulder, protecting us as the Word of God goes forth, it would astound each and every one of us. But it says this, In verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. Now, I want to read this. It says, the words above it in the original Hebrew actually should read beside him. Oh. Let's read it again. And behold, the Lord stood beside him. Should have been written that way. Can you imagine? There's a ladder. And the angels are going back and forth. And Jesus, if you want to look at it this way, comes down that ladder, however, and stands next to Jacob. Amen. Amen. You know, she said Papa yesterday. She did. She did. Papa, Papa. I said, that's Papa. Like Brian said, she also read the encyclopedia yesterday. I said, you're right. You're right. I claim it. I claim it, just like Otis claimed Grandpa. Papa, I'm sorry. So, you know, she's saying all kinds of stuff. That's pretty good at 6 months. But it says, Jesus stood next to him. If we don't quit, God won't quit. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, will stand next to us. Look, that should excite you, people. That should excite you. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords takes care of His people. That He comes in and He stands next to us. That he's not way off letting the angels do whatever they want. You know, that he's there commissioning and standing with him. That God kept his covenant. That Isaac prayed for his son Jacob. And the King of Kings comes down that ladder and stands next to Joshua. Oh, Joshua. Or I'm sorry, Jacob stands next to Jacob. I was saying Joshua, that's the Hebrew for Jesus. Stands next to Jacob. And can you imagine? Jacob in his dream, he wakes up and he says, oh my God, God is in this land. And God told him, I've given you this land as far as from the east and the west. And he gives him the borders. This is your land. Look, God will come and stand next to us and he will rub shoulders with us. He will send his son Jesus for us. And he will help us in all our times of need. He will help us in all our times of want. That we are not by ourselves. We are not by ourselves. That our God takes care of us. Takes care of us. And will take care of you. That he will not leave you alone. Even though Jacob was alone, God did not leave him alone. We may feel like we're alone. We may feel like no one cares. We may feel like we're on desperate road. But I tell you what, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith in the Son of God and what He did at Calvary's cross. And that is truth. That your pastors care for you. Ooh. People, we love you. Somebody walked in and today, and they were going to sit back there, but it was full, whatever. So I said, well, just come way up front. He said, oh, the heat. I said, well, the heat goes wherever. He said, oh, no, I'm talking about the preaching. I said, well, just sit on the front row there. I get excited about the things of God. I get excited. I hate dead preachers. Well, I say I hate. You know, I don't hate them. Because I tell you, a dead preacher has nothing to preach about. What he needs to do is sit in the pew and let somebody else preach to him and get the word of God, him or her. We need preachers that will stand up for the things of God. We back down too much. And now the evil has risen up all over the place. The church doesn't know what to do. The church doesn't know the word of God. Can you imagine a pastor telling you not to bring your Bibles to church? I can't imagine that. My God, what? Don't bring your Bible. And we're trying to give Bibles away as much as we can so you can read it, to get it in us. Because you see, that's the truth. And the devil doesn't want us to know the truth. He doesn't want us to open that word. Because you see, that word, it says that it cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit on the inside of us. And it changes us. The word of God is alive. And the word of God brings what? Truth to us. It brings life to our spirit. And so though Slewfoot doesn't want us to know the word of God. He would love for you to stay busy. If Jacob, get this, if Jacob would have kept going, because he could have kept walking, even when dark, just trying to get somewhere, he wouldn't have gotten that dream. But it's when he settled down and he sat and he laid down is when the Spirit of God came. When we sit down with the Word of God and we say, Lord, teach me your Word. Teach me your Word, Father. Put it in my heart. Put it in my spirit. Let me hunger for the Word of God. I'm not talking about what people are saying. I'm just talking about what God is saying through His Word. And saying, Lord, help me to hunger for this Word. Father, put it in my spirit. Because you see, we can be so busy that we forget about the things of God. And we're doing good things. We're feeding people. We're doing this. We're doing that. And those are great things. But I tell you what, to learn the Word of God, to get it in our hearts, to get it in our spirits, so that when the enemy does rise up, we can take that Word and slash him in two. Because we know what the Word of God says. Honestly, I'm going to use this word. The church, the body of Christ, is anemic to the Word of God. It doesn't know it. And it's not like we don't have 20 of them in each of our homes. We have them. Hey, I'm not saying, hey, look, let me tell you. Busy, busy, busy. Everybody's busy. I know that. But people, we need to slash out sometime to get that word in us. Because it feeds that spirit man on the inside. It feeds that spirit man on the inside. It feeds that spirit man on the inside. How many times have you read the Word of God and it jumped out at you, the words? I mean, it was like, oh my God. Well, what if you wouldn't have been reading it? The Spirit of God couldn't have used it to quicken your heart and to quicken your spirit. Keep on praying. Keep on reading. Keep on doing those things. But as Jacob was sleeping there, Jesus stood next to him. Stood next to him. And we know the end of the, basic end of the story. We know God reconciled Jacob and Esau in the end. You can read it. I think it's Genesis 32. Chapter 32, where he reconciled him, where he was touched by the angel, capital A. You might say, what happened? I'm glad you asked. It says he knew it was time to meet Esau, but he was scared. Can you imagine the torment of the enemy upon Jacob's life for all these years? Saying, your brother hates you. Your brother's going to kill you. And he's going to take everything you have. I mean, the torment. See, that's just like the enemy. He torments God's people. Don't believe what he says. Don't believe what he says. When he says you're going to lose it all, that means you're going to gain it all. When he says you're going to die soon, you're going to live a whole lot of years. When you think you have the worst cancer in all the world, God knows how to bring healing to his people. Don't believe the things that he throws in minds or in your heart trying to. Don't believe those things. But it says that Jacob got with God before they were about to be reunited with Esau. And he prayed. And it says God came on the scene. It's an amazing thing. Every time Jacob called upon God, he came meet him somehow, some way. That's a lesson for us. Every time we call upon him, every time we say the name of Jesus, that our Father, the Holy Spirit, comes and comforts his people and helps us and gives us wisdom. That's the kind of God we serve. And it says that as he was up there wrestling, saying, Lord, what do I do? It says the angel came, which we know was our Lord and Savior. And it says that they wrestled. Now, you know, it says that they wrestled, but I tell you what, all God had to do was just, and that's the end of Jacob. And that's just like us. We're feeble human beings. But he wrestled with him. That means he prayed. That means Jacob prayed. Jacob sought God, and God was there with him. We often think of, well, Jacob had a good time with God that night. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He was touched by God upon it with his hip. But also, God had a good time with Jacob. Have you ever thought of that? Can you imagine every time you go and pray that God has a great time with you? You ever thought of it? That every time you get with him and you thank him and you honor him, that our God has a great time with you and loves you. And it says that, you know, he wanted to be touched by God, and he touched him on his right side or the right part of the hip, and he walked with a limp, and that's okay. When we touch by God, it changes our hearts. It changes our lives. If we won't quit, God won't quit. If we don't quit, God won't quit. As God, just the other scenario, Peter. You remember Peter when he denied God, Jesus, 3 times? And at the last time that rooster crowed, and Peter felt so bad. But he told his other disciples, tell Peter, I remember him. And it says that Jesus looked at Peter at one occasion, and the love of God came out of his eyes towards him, bringing him back. Bringing him back. Bringing him back. Peter probably thought it was all lost, huh? How many times, and everybody could raise your hands, because I know, because I've been there too, when we thought everything was lost, huh, with God. I mean, we thought it was gone. We thought we had messed up so bad that, Lord, there's no reason. You just kill me now. Just kill me now, Lord. It's done with. And God would somehow bring somebody, or a song, or a book, or his word. And he would speak to us. And he would tell us, I haven't given up on you. And all we wanted to do was cry, huh? Because we gave up on ourselves. We gave up on ourselves. We said, there's no way. But the Holy Spirit would speak, I haven't given up on you. I still see your heart. I still see the love that you have in your heart for me. I still see the goodness in your heart. I still see how you are trying to serve me. And he woos us back with the love of his Spirit. And we just don't understand it. But we just say, thank you, Lord. And it seems like our hopes and our dreams were dashed. But God brought back life to our hopes, our dreams, our lives, when we thought it was all gone. If we don't quit, God will never quit. If we don't quit with Him in doing everything we know how to do, God will never quit on us. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for today. Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. I want to ask you a question, and I know I talked about if we don't give up, God won't give up. If you're at that place where you're thinking, Lord, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know if I can make it. Why don't you raise your hand just for a minute so I can see it? I see your hand back there. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see. You can put it down. I see it. Lord God, I pray for these people that have raised their hands, Lord. Father, you can bring life and you can bring help in our time of need. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would be with them. You would encourage them and you would help them and you would be with them. Lord, I pray that your anointing and your Spirit rest upon them and help them, Lord, this day. And Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord God, and the things that you're doing within the people's lives. If you don't know Jesus today and you'd like to give your heart to him, you're saying, I want to serve Jesus today. If you want to do that, would you please raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you. I see your hand back there. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Thank you. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. And I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just remember, God has now written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Never to be taken out. Never to be taken out, unless we want it. But people, look, I appreciate you. I thank God for you and love you. You know, and I want to thank you for coming to church today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I was talking to somebody earlier, came in and said, how you doing? You know, whatever. And they walked to church. It blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. I kind of know where they live, and it's far. Walk to church. That tells me something. There's a hunger. Thank you. I don't look lightly on those things. Thank you. I appreciate you. Jelaine and I, we love you. And we thank God for you. And I pray you have the greatest week this week. Amen. Rehire yourself every morning. Fire yourself in the afternoon. And have a good night. We love you guys. God bless you. Bye-bye.